Welcome to Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. This talk show addresses strategies for thinking in today's complex aviation world. Now, here's Ben Coleman, president of Aerospace Management System Institute in Lakeland, Florida, who is today's host.
Welcome to the 40th annual Sun and Fun Fly-In and Exposition here at Lakeland Linder Regional Airport. I'm Ben Coleman, one of your hosts here with Florida Aviation Network. And it's always a pleasure to have not only our guests that attend the event, but the folks that help make this event what it is, and some of the dynamic personalities. And we have some folks that have some fun times, but then we have those with the ultimate integrity that keeps this business what it is. And I'm so proud to have a friend of mine, Phil Lockwood. Phil, welcome to Florida Aviation Network.
Thank you very much, Ben. Boy, you're far too kind.
Oh, no. You are, when I think of, if I had to pick somebody, who is the epitome of integrity, decency, kindness, and very, very successful in doing all of this.
You're going to make me turn red. Stop that.
No. But, Phil, tell me what's been going on with the AirCam. And we want anybody that doesn't know about the AirCam, it's such a drastic aircraft that you have to go to the website and learn about the background. But Phil is pretty much one of his children's, and tell us what is the next generation, the next step with the AirCam, Phil.
Well, right now we're developing a full enclosure for the AirCam, and it's a very interesting project. We have a lot of people ask us why, because obviously the AirCam is all about flying open. And so, but we have a lot of customers in northern climates. We were looking at our customer base, and we see lots of AirCams in Florida. We see some in Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, California. But
how about further up?
It's not as many.
It's kind of a line.
Yeah, the warm weather. They like the warm weather.
The freeze level.
Yeah, so we realized that we could expand the market significantly if we were to offer a full enclosure, particularly if we had cabin heat, and that's our intention. So we've been working on this project for a long time, and I just couldn't get what I wanted. One of the goals was to be able to remove the enclosure and transition to open closure, to open flying, in 30 minutes or less, and go back the other way in 30 minutes or less. That's not easy, to take an airplane and make it open or make it fully enclosed.
Yeah, pop off canopies.
In 30 minutes. Yeah. And the system we had been working on, which we had shown, I think, 3 or 4 years ago, some of the prototypes, it was getting too complicated, too heavy, too difficult to remove, and too expensive. So we basically scrapped the whole project and started over again.
Clean sheet of paper.
Yeah, and a much simpler system now. And I believe we'll be able to meet all our goals. So, yeah, it's looking good. So far in the flight testing, we're noticing that we're picking up a little bit of efficiency, which you might expect, although that wasn't the goal. I'm burning about a gallon an hour less fuel at 85 miles per hour. That's kind of nice. Gives you a little more range. Of course, you can open up your sectional in there.
The comfort, yeah, that's one thing about the current open cockpit air cam is you're pretty well dependent on your GPS. I'm sure there's an area in a pocket down there.
I learned, old school, and I usually have a sectional if I'm on a cross country to back up my GPS. And I have usually taken the time to put a mark on the sectional. And that's just the way. I just figure if the satellites go down or something, I want to know where I am.
What could go wrong?
Sure. And I've gotten pretty good at working a sectional in the front cockpit of the AirCam. And actually,
there's a couple pockets of dead space.
Yeah, you can open it up and work it.
You just won't be able to hang it up and stick it out.
I've only lost it twice in 20 years of flying air cams. And one was recently, I actually had it folded up and I was holding it up towards the top of the windshield, trying to see how extending the windshield would affect it.
I lost it.
Yeah, it was gone. And it's funny because when I pulled up to the shop, shut down the engines, one of the guys said something fell off the back of the airplane. Oh. I looked back there, half the sectional was wrapped around one of the engines.
Well, it's biodegradable. It's fine.
It was fun. It was funny.
How are Rotax engines doing these days?
Very well. The 9 Series is just dominating the LSA market. They still have about 80% market share. And they're up to about 40,000 9 Series engines produced now.
How many 9 Series mechanics do we have out there?
Now, I don't know the exact number, but significantly more than we had 5 years ago. We've been on a training blitz for training mechanics with our school. You know, we have a dedicated school. Mm-hmm. And in the last 5 years, we have trained hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of mechanics all over the country. And so I think we're in pretty good shape right now. I mean, if you need to have one worked on, it's a whole different world from where we were 5-10 years ago.
Good. Phil, what can we do to help you from a media standpoint, other than just trying to get the word out, get to the AirCam? It's a very, very high-end machine, and it's getting higher with an enclosed cockpit. It's going to be that much more specialized.
It's a fun airplane. People who really just enjoy flying for fun really like it. And anyone who really loves to fly, especially down low,
yeah,
you need to look into it.
Well, I'm thinking. You remember I called you about a couple years ago. It's coming. It's coming. But
our video, you know, we spend some time on our videos, and they become quite popular. Our website right now is getting about 1,000 unique visits a day.
Excellent.
Yeah. So that's pretty good.
That's what I was going to do, is try to drive our audience to the website. But please look up AirCam. Google it.
If you Google AirCam, you'll find it. The website's aircam.com.
Yeah, and share it with your friends, because it's truly a unique machine, but serves so many different purposes, and it's very, very safe. Everything we do here at Ford Aviation Network has a thread of safety. Very safe machine. Philip Hirsch is looking forward to meeting you again. And Phil Lockwood, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now, let's rejoin Ben Coleman and Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network.
Welcome to the 40th Annual Sun and Fun Fly-In and Exposition here at the Lakeland Linder Regional Airport. I'm Ben Coleman, one of your hosts here at Florida Aviation Network, and we are here with part two of Phil Lockwood's wonderful experience with the AirCam. And Phil, I want to make sure that everybody that might be either hearing or listening to this realizes all the effort that you have put into this. And when it started, was it on a cocktail napkin? I know that you had it was with National Geographic is really the impetus of the design.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of people ask about that, and are interested in how it came to be. I had been doing some work for the BBC, a film. There were a few wildlife photography film crews that needed to be flown, Survival Anglia and some National Geographic crews like the Bartletts, who were independent but doing work for the Geographic, and had flown in the U.S., had flown in Africa on these missions, and I noticed that there were times when we had to go down low to film. And, you know, if you had an engine failure, you had no place to go. And I always like to be up high. So I was helping out these guys on these wildlife photography missions. And I longed for an airplane that I could fly low over unlandable terrain and have a backup engine. And at first I was looking at a small backup engine that would just allow me to get to a safe landing field. And then I realized that wasn't practical. I needed two large engines to make it work. And there was a crew working on a job in the Congo. Special mission. They wanted to do some research work over the Ndoki rainforest. And I had been working with the Bartletts in the Namib Desert in Namibia. And we were using drifters. And they were perfect for what they wanted to do. They had two of them. Most of the time we were over desert. You could really land in a lot of places. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty safe. this mission in the Congo was going to be over the rainforest, 300 foot high mahogany trees. Mm. And I asked them, if we went down out in the rainforest, what was our chance of rescue? And they said, pretty much nobody's coming
once
to get you.
Once you fall through the canopy, you're gone.
And I mean, there were places that we needed to go that would be a 15-day hike to get out, if you weren't hurt, if you were healthy, if you had the food to get you out. So I knew that we needed a different kind of machine, and I told them that I really wasn't interested in doing that in a drifter. But I told them I've been working on a design for a twin that could do that. The other thing was, the operation was very remote, just the base camp, not just where they were going. And so trying to get fuel or support, a helicopter, which is another airplane that could do what they wanted, I mean, by the time the helicopter got there, it would be out of fuel, and trying to feed it would be impossible.
Yeah.
So they talked me into building the first one for them. So designed and built AirCam number one, disassembled it, shipped it out there, put it together. And
I've seen that footage. That's great.
Ferried it to,
that's great.
I don't know, 350 miles or so from South Congo, Brazzaville, all the way up to the Ndoki rainforest. And we flew the mission, and it worked great. Came back and thought, I'm going to build another one of those. And I built a second prototype, AirCam 2. Took it to some shows. I think Sonicfun was the first place that I really showed it. And people liked it. And I thought, you know, I think I'm going to make this a kit. And that's the route we went.
That's great. And how many airframes do you have to so far?
We are approaching 200. We're getting close to 200.
That's a lot of airplanes out there. Considering Sebring, you have a small facility. You're not on mass production yet.
No, it's small. I don't ever see it being a large scale production. It's a specialized aircraft for a special group of people.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know that at the splash in yesterday, Ed McNeil. And the other yellow.
You're probably talking about Richard Johnson was probably flying.
He's
a big AirCam enthusiast.
Yeah, they were having a ball and did an excellent demonstration on performance for you. And
I think Ed won the short takeoff.
He did.
Yeah, with the AirCam, but you know it's a good pilot, and the AirCam will do it. So there you go.
That's great. The engines that you're using there, and the only thing have you. What in the future will we ever see that burns kerosene on an AirCam?
You know, I don't see that as really being practical because of the fuel consumption at low altitudes. Most turbines really need to go high to be efficient, and we fly low. I mean, we fly low whenever we can, whenever the situation makes it legal and safe. Whenever. And so if you'd have a high power-to-weight ratio with the turbines, and some people could afford them. I've already had people say, hey, put two turbines on there for me. But you'd have to carry so much fuel, it would be difficult to make it practical.
See, I mentioned the word kerosene, and you immediately go.
Oh, yeah,
turbines.
Diesel. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have any plans for that right now.
Yeah.
We do have the new 912 IS fuel injected engines available on the AirCam. We've engineered a new package.
That sure saves a lot of carburetor. Synchronization.
Saves a lot of maintenance. The IS is, of course, being fuel injected, not just fuel injected, but electronically multi-port fuel injection. I mean, pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
System state of the art. They burn less fuel, and the engines were already efficient, but we can get down to crazy low fuel burn levels now.
3-4 gallons?
You can get below 4 gallons an hour,
That's great. That's great.
And you'll burn about 15% less at any given power setting with the fuel injected engines.
Man, that's it's just exciting. I hope to hang around long enough to take advantage of some of this new technology. I wouldn't take anything for the time up to this point, but God, the next 30 or 40 years, it's going to be great. And we'll hold on to our medicals and keep flying these airplanes. But
you need to do that because you do need a medical for the AirCam. That's a big question that we get right now.
Yeah.
Is does it qualify as a sport plane? And it's a twin. It really should because it's a simple airplane to fly, but FAA doesn't want a twin. So there you go.
But there's always going to be a method and a way to operate the airplane. Anything else that you'd like to share with us to perpetuate or anything that you need to develop? Other than just enjoy the show?
No, enjoy the show. We do have our Lockwood Aviation Supply here at the show.
Good.
In Building D. They're so busy over there, they can barely break for lunch.
That's great.
So the show, I think, I'm happy with the increase I see in interest, and people are buying things again. And so it's really nice to see the economy improving.
Yes, I agree. Well, Phil, I'm just going to go ahead and thank you for your time.
And, my pleasure,
and
man.
Please, Obie's going to be feverishly scrambling here to say bye, but we'll just go ahead and wrap it up. And let Phil get back to his booth, because he's a busy man, and we really appreciate his time and efforts here. But thank you for joining us here for another one of the Cinefun 40th anniversary shows.
We hope you've enjoyed today's Managing Safety, brought to you by the Florida Aviation Network, an effort of the National Aviation Safety Foundation and a coalition of local, regional, and national aviation organizations and agencies. Please visit our studio website to hear past programs.